Lord, you are the reason why we're here. And we are blessed to be able to sing, Lord, songs where, Lord, we declare the beauty of who you are. And it is my prayer that all of us today would love you more, that we would love you far greater than what sin has to offer us today. I pray that today we would, again, surrender and give you our hearts that we may be refreshed by you, that we would, Lord, be your hands and feet to a world that is in dire need of hope. God, give us the ability today to be that light that you've called us to be. Give us the ability today, Lord, to, God, surrender our hearts so that you can do that perfect work that you begun. God, we're not here because we want to play church. God, we want to be the church. So would you please pour out your spirit upon this service and speak to our hearts in a powerful way. God, we love you once again, and we give you this time. We give you our hearts. We give you, Lord, our ears, that we may hear and receive the word that you have given us today. And I pray that all glory and all praise would go to you. Jesus, we love you. We thank you, and it's in your precious name we pray. Amen. 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 Well, good morning, church. You guys can sit down. Oh, my goodness. It's so good to be back. Yes. I was a little nervous when I you know, walked in on August 1st. Didn't know if there was going to be any golden calves around or if my key was going to actually open up the door, you know, if they were going to kick me out. But it is so good. So good to be back. You know, Marisa, amen. Marisa and I missed you guys so much. And I don't want to jump ahead because last service I was all over the place. But I have an important announcement, and I want to share this before I, so that I don't forget. But if you do need a Bible, please raise your hand. We would love to have you open up the word with us. And you can turn to Psalm 23. This morning is going to be more of a testimony. I'm going to read through the passage because this is where the series was actually birthed, refreshed, that we just covered. But the announcement that I do want to make with you today is we've been announcing to you that we're going to be remodeling our sanctuary. And so praise the Lord for that. God's provided, and we're thankful for that. And so for those of you who had trouble with our blue chairs, we're changing them, okay? But anyways, we want to give you the important announcement and information that, again, we are going to be meeting at the Best Western Abbey Inn, and the dates that we will be there are August 11th, 18th, and 25th, okay? So for the next three Sundays, and the service times will be at 9:45, so you guys don't need to worry about time change, but the second service will be at 11:45, so in case you miss, we're bumping it a few more minutes just because of the parking and, you know, because your pastor normally goes over anyway. So, you know, it'll give you a little bit more time to get in and out of the parking lot. Sound good? All right. So listen, those are our announcements for the next three Sundays. We are still going to meet here on Wednesday nights. We're going to be meeting in 100-101 at 7 p.m. And we're going through the book of Joshua. So come on out and join us for that. I'm looking forward to jumping into that study with you. And again, before we do stand, I just want to give a shout out, and I want to say, you know, not only did Maurice and I miss all of you, but we want to thank the elders, the board of elders, the staff, and you as a church family for blessing us with the time away that we were able to get. So thank you guys so much. We were greatly, greatly blessed by it. The other thank you I want to give to all the pastors who came out, who shared all the different topics, and just did an amazing job. Maurice and I were watching this series along with you, walking along with you as well. And I also want to give, listen carefully, a shout out to some specific people, for Dave Love, for Derek Nider, for Dan Needy, their encouragement through phone calls and text messages while we're away. But I also want to thank all of you for your prayers. Maurice and I really felt them, and we were encouraged. We actually snuck in a couple of times at the church that you guys didn't know about, but it was a good time, and we had an opportunity to fellowship at other churches. But I'm telling you, this is our home. Amen. Yes, we missed being here, and so with that, thank you, everyone. Let's go ahead and stand out of reverence for the word. And again, I just want to read where all of this series was birthed from. But Psalm 23 is an amazing psalm. Let's begin in verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leads me to lie down in green pastures. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies, and you anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Father, we thank you again for this amazing portion of scripture that describes, Lord, not only who you are, but the willingness that you have to work in and through our lives. That you are our good shepherd. That you are the one that will go before us. And as we just read, again, your goodness and mercy follow us. It is amazing that we have in your word today everything that we need to stand in this dark time. And I pray that all of our hearts would be always open when your word is being shared, when we study it, that we would literally give you everything, that we would have the same desire as John the Baptist in that you would increase in our life and we would decrease. So God, please pour out your spirit upon us and help us to receive and more importantly, give you praise for what you are doing. I pray that all of us have been refreshed through this series. And so Lord, speak to us as we are here. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. So one of the things I want to share with you really quickly is, again, the purpose of this series. And I believe with all my heart, it was to pause, to, you know, take a break from our normal routine and to remember who our God is and then to reflect on his goodness and faithfulness in our lives. And I, again, Marisa and I have been totally blessed because in the 26 plus years of ministry, this was the first time that we've ever extended that time off the way that we did. And I wish, listen, if it will work, come see me after service. I'll give you a pastor's note and maybe you can take the next 2 months off somewhere, okay? If your boss accepts it, praise the Lord, okay? But I'm just telling you right now, this was a time for us to be renewed and refreshed in our relationship with the Lord. And I can't even begin to put into words, and this service isn't going to do it justice, but my desire, because every single person I come across, how was it? Were you refreshed? So I'm only going to do it 3 times instead of trying to tell you individually how everything went. So this morning is more of a testimony of how God ministered to our hearts throughout this season of the Refresh series, because if you can recall, last week, Pastor Derek mentioned that we have covered all the right topics for our hearts to be refreshed. So if you've been walking through this journey with us, it is amazing how, again, it was meant to help us see the seriousness of our times, to help us have a serious heart check, and to take this time because we all need to be refreshed. We need to have a time of rest. We need to be reset, and we need to continue to fulfill the calling that God has in our life, specifically as a church, but also as individuals, okay? These are the things that God began to speak into my heart, and if you went through that series thinking, well, I really don't need any rest, my encouragement to you is to go back and listen to Pastor Matt's message. Okay, because I don't know about you, but when he revealed that list of emotional exhaustion, I was highlighting a lot of them. And if you're in denial, we have counseling for you as well. But listen, I want to share my heart with you and be transparent throughout this journey. And I have no doubt that God ministered to you maybe in some different ways, but the main point of this series was once again to be renewed, to have a new sense of strength and just direction and guidance from the Lord. And what I can tell you today is I walked away not only being refreshed, but I walked away from this series with a deeper understanding of God's love. And I pray that I can develop this picture along, you know, for you to be able to catch as well. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to try my best to condense the different things throughout the different messages and some key things that really minister to my heart. But Ryan's message on remember, again, was an encouragement to pause, to take a step back and to remember not only who our God is, but how he's working in and through our lives, the great things that he has done. And I highlighted this. He said this, the greatest miracle that we have received as saints, as beloved brothers and sisters in Christ is this. The greatest miracle is found in John 3:16. The gift of salvation that God has, and I remember writing this down very clearly, that the gospel of Jesus Christ is not a one-time event. It literally is our whole life. Can you kind of grasp that picture with me? Because again, throughout not only his message were we reminded of what God did to save us and the calling that he has in our life, I want you to just kind of get a glimpse of what Marisa and I were able to do. And that is, just like the children of Israel in the book of Joshua, Marisa and I spent time looking back on our walk with the Lord and remembering all of the memorial stones of God's love. Okay, this is important because when we get a chance, if we're ever going to look back, don't look back on your past mistakes. Look back on God's faithfulness. And so throughout that season, we remember the day that we got saved. Man, it still brings me to tears. April 19th, 1992, God grabbed a hold of my heart. And it was the most amazing thing ever because I felt like as you were sitting in this room with several, you know, maybe a couple hundred people, it literally felt like I was alone with God and no one else mattered. That God would speak directly into my heart and call me forward to receiving this most amazing privilege of not only being set free from sin, but to enter into a right relationship with God. My life was so messed up and I needed it. The other memorial stone I remember is how God saved my marriage. Man, we were on that path of divorce. I don't know how Marisa could ever, you know, get rid of this, but anyways, you know what I'm saying? You know? But the truth of the matter is he saved our marriage. And during this sabbatical, we had the blessing of celebrating 35 years of marriage. Praise the Lord. I like what Pastor Al Pittman said. There is a God for a woman to stay with me that long. Amen. God, hey. But we also, we remembered all the people that God used to help us grow. You know, the work of sanctification in our life, the moment that you accept Christ into your life, he wants to do a work in you, and praise God that he doesn't give up on us. Praise the Lord that what he started, he's going to be faithful to complete. And all of us are under construction, and we will not be completed until we see Jesus' face. So pray, my heart was so thankful of remembering how amazing God's love is that he would remain faithful in the midst of our unfaithfulness. I was so thankful because I remember all of the encouragement that we received to take small steps of faith, which would eventually lead to bigger ones. But I specifically remember and recalling the very day that God spoke to my heart and revealed the calling that he had for my life. And I said this a little bad in the first service. It came off wrong, but let me explain. The way God spoke to my heart was on a construction site. And the only place that I could find some privacy to be alone was an outhouse. I said it backwards, and it sounded really bad at first service. But all it took was 1 hour of being on a construction site, of seeing the pornography, of hearing all of the foul language, of hearing everybody glorifying what they did over the weekend and just the ugliness that many of you know on construction sites take place. And as I took a step into that outhouse, I remember specifically telling God, I'm done. I do not want my hands to build anything for the world again. I don't want these structures to be used for a place of gambling and sexual pleasures and drinking and all of the other stuff that comes with building casinos. I want to build for you, Jesus. And then I said those words that you should never say. I'll serve you, but please, please don't ever send me back to the Philippines, is what I told them. And of course, the very calling that he had was to send our family out as servants, as missionaries, to serve him for 12 years in the Philippines. All of these things were such a sweet time because of how God saved us and what he's been doing in our lives ever since. And it drew me to this one verse that I want to read with you, or read for you. And I would encourage you to write it down. But Romans chapter 5, verse 8 says this: But God demonstrated his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. This is what captivated my heart and drew me in and allowed this picture of God's love to bloom. Because what I walked away from is that the one and only true God, okay? And I want to describe to you what the Bible says of who our God is. I want to read to you what God declares of himself. Revelation chapter 1, verse 8, it says, God reveals this of himself. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. You see, there is no other God out there. There is none beside him. He is it. Beloved, do you understand today that you and I have the most amazing relationship with the one and only true God? Amen. This is what blew me away as I started meditating more on it. That this one and only true God, the one who spoke everything into existence, the one who has complete control in heaven and on earth, the one, listen, who demonstrated his love, not just with words, but on a cross. This one God loves you and he loves me. I want you to consider the depth of that. Because again, as powerful and as amazing as God is, he was willing to come into this world to save us. He himself took upon flesh and blood, came into this world that he created to save you and me. He died a death that he did not deserve. We deserved that death. And yet, out of love, he didn't just say it, he demonstrated it, because he willingly laid down on that cross, and it was his shed blood that set us free from the wages of sin, which is eternal separation. It was God and him alone that did all of this. And what blows me away is he did it even when we didn't deserve it. This is the powerful message that God revealed to my heart. Out of all the people, listen, out of all the people in the world, I can't even count that high. I don't have enough toes on my feet. But out of all the people on the face of this earth, here's what blew me away. God knows you. He knows me. He knows us by name. He knows everything about us. He knows some of us have hair, some of us don't. He knows everything about us. And he has a desire to be involved in every aspect of your life. I want you to remember the beauty of God's love, even through the Old Testament, in the fact that throughout Exodus, as he delivered them out of bondage, as he brought them out of Egypt, what did God desire to do? Dwell with his people within that structure of the tabernacle. That's Old Testament. For us today, God desires to dwell in you. This is what blows me away. He, again, speaking of all of his power, all of his glory, all of who he is, wants you. And he wants me. That he has an amazing plan for you and me. This plan may be different from one another, but here's the heart behind it. God desires for his children to build for his kingdom. He would include us in that. Listen, I don't know about you if you've been watching the Olympics. Don't get all bent out of shape. Listen, what happened at that open ceremony shouldn't catch us by surprise. The truth of the matter is we're living in a world that not only hates God, but has two standards. The reality is should it upset us? Yes. When people mock our God, but remember, he's the one who will deal justly with those who mock. Our responsibility is to pray for people. Our responsibility is to be the hands and feet for Jesus. So don't let it get all under your skin and start venting on Facebook or social media. Let's fight the right way and let's pray for people who don't know Jesus, because they need him more than we understand and know. Do you agree with me? But my point in this, in sharing this, is this. He wants to use us. And in every part of our life, in every place that he has located us, a job site, a campus, a market that we go to, a gym that we go to, wherever it is that God sends us, we are in the mission field. We are called to be a light in this world. And God has given each and every one of us a gift to use to accomplish that. I am so blown away by his love that not only would he die for us, not only would he save us, but now God has a desire to use us. And if you say, but I really don't have much to offer or to give, listen, if God was able to take a construction worker, a maintenance guy, and allow him to put down the tool belt and start studying the word and now become a senior pastor, God can do great things in you. Be like the little boy who offered up his lunch with a crowd of over 5,000 people. Did Jesus say, I can't do anything with this? No, Jesus took it, received it, blessed it, and thousands received it. Let's be that little boy willing to give whatever we have and let God bring the multiplication. He just wants us to be that living epistle, that living light for the world to see. And the demonstration of God's love, again, that refreshed my heart is knowing this. Beloved, we are only passing through, and God desires to want to spend eternity with you and me. I thought that would excite you. You know, it is so, so amazing. We've been away and we've gone to different fellowships, like I said, and we went to Las Vegas a couple times. And whether you believe this or not, we belong to an amazing family of God. I haven't stepped foot on that property for almost over, you know, on a Sunday morning, literally almost 7 years. 7 years since I've been back there. And the welcoming that we received, the hugs that we received, the people that I didn't even think we would remember us. The time of sitting in the service and hearing from God's word and just being a part of a fellowship that loves Jesus. Man, it was so amazing. We belong to an amazing family. And you want to know how amazing? I guarantee you this. Do you realize that we, as the body of Christ, as our spiritual family, sometimes, and I want to say more than sometimes, I want to say most of the time, you and I will get ministered to more from our spiritual body than our immediate family. And that is not a put down. That is just an amazing demonstration of God's love being poured out on us that we pour out on each other. That is what blesses me. That is what ministered to my heart to let me know that we serve an amazing God that loves us and then not only loves us, but he is faithful to his promises. Throughout all of the different topics from reflect, rest, reestablish, reset, recommit, you know, refilled, and even rejoicing, all of those topics had some amazing, amazing nuggets of truth for us to treasure, to store in our hearts. But the greatest thing that Maurice and I set forth to do was to remember God's goodness and his faithfulness in our lives. We started reflecting again on the things that God did throughout this journey. And I just want to, again, touch a little bit on the different teachings. Josh challenged us. Listen, he challenged us with the most homework. If you go back in your journal, this brother gave us 15 verses to study throughout the week. And I love it because it went right hand in hand with his message, because his challenge was to recall God's blessings, provisions, guidance, and protection in our life. It was awesome to go through those verses. It was awesome to be reminded how beautiful God is and his love for us. You know, when he went through Psalm 23 that we just read, these are the things that stuck out to me that caused my heart to be lifted up. Jesus is not only our shepherd, you know, this is what David described his Lord to be, but he's our shepherd. And a shepherd is the one who goes before the sheep. And it is the sheep who depend upon the shepherd. And just like sheep, this is, please don't get all offended because I'm likening us to sheep. But the reality is we act just like sheep. We're skittish. We run. We think the grass is greener on the other side. And I've shared this with you before, the honest truth. If you think the grass is greener on the other side, if you think that, you know, your joy is better off back in the world, listen, you're deceiving yourself. You want to know where the grass is greener? It's greener where you water it. And the reality of this, as Josh pointed out, God is the one who leads us. You see that in verses 1 to 3. He leads us and makes us lie down on those green pastures. He leads us to be able to be refreshed by the still water. He's willing to restore, re-strengthen, renew our souls when we're down. And he has a specific calling and a plan for our life. And that plan is to walk in his righteousness. Not to keep living in sin, not to keep doing our thing. Our thing is what got us in the mess we're in. Do you guys agree with me?
Yep.
Come on now. I've heard it this way. My old man is the reason why I desire to be a new man. Everything that you think is bringing you joy is only taking you deeper into bondage. But what has set me free and what has given me life, I now want a new appetite. I now want to serve my Lord. And I want to do things for him. And so Josh took us on this journey. And he says, not only does God lead us, we are to follow. But notice he also said, it's God's goodness and his mercy that is behind us. That's how good our God is. That's how much he loves you. That he would provide, he would protect, and he would guide us along this journey. Isn't that amazing about God? Listen, I love the fact that when we got saved, he didn't just put a check mark and go next. I'm so thankful that we don't have to wait to know God until we get to heaven. We can know him the moment we confess him and receive him into our hearts. We immediately get this privilege of having access to him. That is what blows me away about God's love for you and me. And his willingness to do what he did on the cross and what he's willing to do for us today. And so the blessings that we started counting and just the provisions that we remembered were our family. We started thanking the Lord for our 4 kids. We started thanking the Lord for all 10 of our grandkids. We were thanking the Lord for the times that we've had to serve and the times that he provided. The miracles that could only happen because of him. And if I haven't shared this with you, and if you've heard this before, just because it's in this context, how much did God love and provide for our family? when we committed to serving him, listen, I went from a union job to working for a church. 4 paychecks a week, 10 hours a day, 10 hours a day back in 1996, 97, 2 years of working ridiculous hours, making mad money, to surrendering it and working at a church where I got paid every other week with maybe a third of what I was making before. And God didn't stop there. Then he said, you're going to be a missionary in 2 hours. I only get 1 paycheck a month. And having no idea who would give. And yet God provided for all the 12 years that we were out on the field. As a matter of fact, God dropped an amazing blessing, because in a church service like this, when we announced that we were going out on the mission field, that there was one person in that sanctuary that when we made the announcement we were going to the Philippines, God touched that heart and anonymously gave a check for $10,000 for us to go out onto the field to fulfill God's calling in our life. Those are the blessings that I want you to recall in your life. Those God divine interventions in your life where there's no other explanation but God. That's the beauty that we experienced. The other thing that we were challenged with in Matt's message about rest, and again, here is a transparent heart. I love the fact that Matt brought out, if Jesus took rest, we need to take rest. If God takes rest seriously, so should we. When he listed off that emotional exhaustion list, that description of it, I didn't realize he was talking about me. As I had that moment with the Lord, and even in first service, somebody, what were they? What did you highlight? None of your business. I highlighted trouble sleeping, physical fatigue, headaches, difficulty concentrating. From January, full transparency, all the way up to June, up to the end of May, my mind was so scattered. It was going in so many different directions. And yet, what I took away from this message, what really spoke to my heart, was God reminded me of John chapter 15 and the message that I shared before we went on sabbatical. And it says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Beloved, this is where God reminded me very clearly and very gentle. And I love this about God. When he chastens, when he rebukes, he doesn't yell. He doesn't beat you over the head, though some of us deserve it. But the reality is this, that God spoke so lovingly and he reminded me, Jerry, stay in your lane. He told me, I'm the branch. Why is this such a big thing? Because in that simple phrase, Jesus reminded me, I'm not the vine. I'm not the source of my strength. I'm not the source of wisdom. I'm not who he is. The other thing that he reminded me very gently is that I can bear no fruit on my own. Do you realize that anything good that comes out of us, it's because God is working in and through us? None of us should ever receive any glory, any praise for what God allows us to do. It is him and him alone that deserves all glory and honor to take lives that have been messed up and use them to confine the wise and allow his gospel truth to be heard. I am so thankful for the way that God spoke and just basically very gently reminded me of my role. Just be the branch. Because if I'm the branch, then all I know, all my responsibility is to stay connected. God never created me to be the vine. God never created me to do things that he would not enable me to do. And I'm the type of person that would rather help people than to ask for help. I spent so much time trying to figure out things instead of tapping into the true source of strength that has been made available to us. And I pray that we would no longer do that. I pray that throughout this season, that even though I fell short, that I would encourage you to start living out Psalm 46:10. What does that say? Be still and know that I am God. Okay? Psalm 46, verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. Again, my failure, my mistake. I forgot that Jesus was the vine. And the things that I was doing were not necessarily wrong. But the heart of the matter is how many of us have ever made the mistake of trying to help God out? Right? We pray, Lord, oh, I'm giving you this. And then an hour goes by, and since you're not helping, I'm going to do this. Man, I jumped ahead, and I forgot that he is the vine. And I love, again, because of the fact of who our God is, that he's full control of everything. He is literally the only source of strength we need. And God made it very clear to me, stay in your lane. God made it very clear, be the branch. Trust me. Stay connected to me and watch what I will do for you. That really just blew me away. Pastor Al's message of being established on the Word of God, and it is God's Word that will guide us through the dark times that we are living in. And again, beloved, here's what I want you to please remember. There is no way that we could ever expect the world to act right when there is no relationship with God. There's no way. But how can we as a body reveal who God is? By living for him. By letting our life match the message that we preach. Again, if God demonstrated his love and showing us what he did, then we need to show this world love for God by the way we live, by the way we behave, by what we do when we're pressed. By doing what is right. Not joining in on the world and repaying evil for evil, but repaying evil with good. Pastor Al said this and it really blew me away because again, this is exactly where we're at in our time. I believe this is actually speaking of, you know, verse 4, yea, though I walk through the shadow of the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You know, when he said this in his message, the world may legalize, normalize, and even celebrate sin, but God's word never changes. Oh man, this was deep. You know, the world will want to rewrap what sin looks like. Hey, what'd you do this weekend? Oh, I went out and did some untraditional shopping. That's called stealing today. You're like, what? The world is going to try to deceive people into thinking that their freedom, we don't want to follow God, we want to do our own thing. They believe their freedom is what sets them, you know, free to do whatever they want. But the reality is that path will only lead, again, to deeper bondage. And I'm so thankful for the way that, again, God began to speak to my heart and how important it is to be grounded in the Word. and to allow me to see once again the beauty of his word and how it unfolds and just takes color, because there were so many different Bible verses that came to mind. But listen, I want to share these with you. Psalm 119, verse 9 to 11. I want to encourage you, write them down. We don't have a whole bunch of time left, but Psalm 119, verse 9 to 11. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. The psalmist would go on to say he had hidden God's word in his heart that he would not sin against him. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the word of God is living, powerful, and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. God's word will pierce through the hardness of hearts and the hardest of heads. God will reveal the intentions of our hearts. God's word will definitely equip us to live a life of righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. For all of God's word, all of Scripture, is God-inspired. And why did he give it to us? It's not just so that we could know what not to do, but it was meant to draw our hearts closer to God. It was meant to help us understand and know his desires, to correct us when we're wrong, to equip us to share of who he is, and to equip us to live a life that he desires. These are amazing verses that I would encourage you, but I believe strongly, what is God desiring to do in our lives today? To make us all disciples, to be Bereans like in the book of Acts, that we would literally be intentional in studying God's word, that we would be intentional with our prayer life, that we would be intentional when God speaks, that we would walk in obedience, that we would not have selective hearing when God speaks it. You know, it's kind of like our kids when we would tell them to go clean their room, go in one ear and out the other. I pray that we would be intentional, that as God speaks to our heart, that we would follow in obedience. The other thing that I believe God spoke powerfully was through Matt's message of reset. It was to focus on the necessary changes so that Jesus can be once again the center of our lives, putting our priorities back in order. How many of us have failed to do that? Oh, come on now. Don't leave me alone by myself. Thank you. I love you guys. I thought I was here by myself. Matt, I highlighted this, and I am so thankful that God, thankful to the Lord that he gave Matt this. And Matt said this, the series and the study that they were reset, the study is not meant to condemn anybody or beat anybody up, but it is just meant to get us back on track. And he used that illustration of a computer and a computer needing to be reset, a computer that needs to remove all of the clutter that it's collected in order for it to operate properly, so that way a person can get back on track in doing the task that was given to them. And what did God do? Once again, remind me of John chapter 15. It's time for pruning, beloved. It's time for us not to be content with the fruit that we've been able to bear and you know, bless other people with. God literally wants to prune our lives so that we will bear more fruit. And I know this process. Listen, I don't like being pruned. I don't like being told, you got to do this or you got to do that. Listen, I'm just like anybody else. Change can be hard. But can I encourage us with this? If there's any change that God wants to make, it's for your good. Don't fight it. Let him speak into your life so that you can bear that fruit for others to enjoy. And so Dustin's topic was recommit. We need to remove the clutter and then move forward in our commitment, in our minds, in our heart toward God's will. He continued to use that foot race example, and this is what I highlighted. Know the course. In other words, know your Bible. Know God's amazing plan for all of humanity. Know that God not only created this plan, he entered into that race. He led us by example in how to finish the race. The other thing he encouraged us to do is run. You know, I'm just going to speak to you as a pastor and as a loving brother as gently as possible as I can. But if you are only spending time with Jesus on this Sunday, if you are only opening up his word on this Sunday and nothing throughout the rest of the week until next Sunday, out of love, I'm here to tell you, you are going to fail. I'm here to tell you that God wants to spend more with you than just 2 hours out of a 1 week time span. I'm here to tell you that you are missing out on the greatest love relationship ever. I'm here to tell you that God is so desiring to be a part of every aspect of your life. Don't close him out. Today is the day that we need to stop playing church and be the church. Today is a day that we want to run the race and be disciplined and staying consistent and running our race. And that means reading our Bibles, praying, studying, serving the Lord. And he also said, block out the haters. Come on now. We need to cut away from those relationships that are hindering us from knowing Jesus. And the reality is, if you have a true friend, they're not going to encourage you to walk away from Jesus. They're going to encourage you to stay close to Jesus. They're going to respect your wishes. The last thing Dustin encouraged us with was to finish the finish line. Reach for the finish line, to be an intentional in our walk with the Lord. And again, all of these are only possible when we have an honest heart check. My prayer and my desire, and I pray this is yours as well, but through this series, what did God challenge me? What did God reveal to me? I need to grow deeper in his word. I need to be able to put to death that old nature. I need to be able to put away, you know, those old things that have so easily crept in and want to pull me away from the Lord. And I'll be very transparent. What is it? Scrabble. Love me or hate me, but I love playing Scrabble on my phone. I won't tell you the other game, but anyways, God says, get away, you know, cut away from it. I want to be so faithful in following God's commands that the fruit we bear would be just like the boat when the disciples caught such a great amount of fish that the boat began to sink. I pray that our hearts would hunger more and more to be like Jesus. And I pray that we as a church would more and more reach out to this next generation. Because if you and I don't, the world is right there willing to do it. Jimmy gave a powerful message, and what I highlighted from his was a few phrases, but one of the most important things is no one can ever be refreshed apart from the Holy Spirit. This is an amazing truth, and I'm so thankful that God has given us his Spirit that will dwell within us, that Spirit is there to help guide us and reveal to us God's truth, that those spiritual understanding that we need, the Holy Spirit is there to help us by giving us understanding. The Holy Spirit is there to help empower us to be the hands and feet of Jesus. That we would literally mimic and copy our Lord by demonstrating love, by showing compassion, by having mercy, showing forgiveness. Oh man, this is one, right? That we are like, I was okay until you said that one. Isn't it amazing how forgiveness is one of those things that many of us have difficulty with? You know, the wives look at us and we're like, my bad. That's not what I want to hear. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Does it come easy for you? I don't know. Maybe you're that special person, but not me. I'm like, all right, my bad. But the reality is this. We can demonstrate patience. We can demonstrate kindness. We can demonstrate the fruit of the Spirit because God's power enables us to walk in the Spirit. This is what I loved about his message. And then, of course, Derek was wrapping things up with this, and he mentioned, we have covered all of the right topics for our hearts to be not only filled with joy to rejoice in the Lord, but to be refreshed. And I love the fact that he focused on that renewing of our relationship with the Lord, and where it starts with one heart at a time. I was laughing when he said, Pastor Jerry went all King Hezekiah on you. It was so funny. But it is my heart that we as a church would literally come together and worship him. That we as a church together would come, and that our worship and our love for him would be excessive. That our love for him would be not just one voice, but many voices singing praises to our God, not just in song, but the worship I'm talking about is our life. Do you realize that every day that you walk out of your door and every Sunday that you walk out of this church, you are entering the mission field? And God has so much desire to use us, to renew us in this calling that he's given us, to do a work in and through us. But we first, in order to experience, we need to humble ourselves. We need to repent. And we need to give God our whole heart, not just a portion, but all of it. As I mentioned earlier, I believe throughout this series that God had a desire for all of us to remember that the one and only true God loves you. And the way that he demonstrated it is by his goodness and faithfulness that has followed the days of our life. And if you haven't, I want to encourage you, go back yourself. You can look at the series. You can look at all of the different teachings. You can get your own journal and walk through it. But I'm telling you right now, what God has done in our lives and what he wants to continue to do is going to blow us away. Because we are at a time right now in our world where, again, we need the power and the fresh pouring of God's Holy Spirit upon our lives so that this world will see that we serve the one and only true, amazing God. And I am so thankful because this series has caused me to have a heart of gratitude. And I pray that, Lord willing, as I commit to wanting to grow deeper and that I would just imitate Jesus, that all of us would be in line with that. Because again, the only way for a spiritual renewing, an only way for us to have hearts filled with joy, the only way that we will ever be refreshed is when we stay connected to the vine. Stay close to Jesus. Be intentional in your relationship with him. Love him. Follow him. Speak of him. But more importantly, let your actions reveal who he is to this dark world. Can I get an amen for that? Amen. Amen. I am so blessed to be back and so blessed to share my heart with you. And there's, again, a ton of other stuff, but I need to get you home before dinner. So anyways, I am so thankful again. Worship team, come forward. We're going to take communion.